this was faith in the title, and about anything else. I'd love to talk about faith, that blessed, blessed gift of God. And that's what it is. It's a gift of God. It's not something we're born with. It's not something that's natural to us. It's something that God must give us. All men don't have it. But here in Matthew 15 and 21, I'm going to read down through verse 28 and bring some things on faith from here. Then Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It's not meet, it's not fit, not worthy, that I should take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know, our Savior commended faith so much. How many times would he say, Thy faith has saved thee? You believe that I'm able to do this? And here he called this woman's faith a great faith. Great faith. And faith is the most precious gift of God. And if you've never had it and had it given to you, you understand just how precious it is. In fact, faith will enable you to see in the dark. Enable you to trust the invisible God. And enable you to get things from God that it's impossible for a reason to understand and accept, or believe, I mean. But it's faith that makes our Lord Jesus Christ precious to us. Faith that makes His blood precious to us. It's faith that makes His righteousness precious to us, because that's the only righteousness we have. We have no other. We have no other way to stand before God and be accepted other than the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the gift. And faith was given to us on the basis of that righteousness. You see, God can justly give men repentance and faith because of what Christ did.
Yes, sir.
And that's why men think that if they have faith, that God will give them something, when really we need God to give us faith before we ever have anything else. Faith does not cause the new birth, our acceptance with God. Faith is the result of the new birth and our already acceptance with God.
Amen.
And oh my, and it's faith that makes the promises precious. And that's why when I read to you there out of 2 Peter, where Simon said, it's precious faith. Faith is the very life of God in a person's soul. It's like life in a baby's soul when it cries out to its mother. It's like that mother, that baby that loves its mother and needs its mother and cries after its mother. That's what faith is in our soul. It's what cries out after God. It's what looks to God. It's what looks to the Lord Jesus Christ and calls on Him continually and looks to Him and trusts Him. And here in this story of this Canaanite woman, we have faith illustrated for us. And there's seven glorious truths about this faith here, brought out about faith, that I want us to look at. And the first one's this. Faith is given to the most unlikely people. Faith is given to the most unlikely people. Now, there was lots of scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and lawyers and doctors and people who attended the synagogues. Multitudes of them. Thought they had faith. They had a Bible. They believed their Bibles. prayed, believed in election even. They believed that they were chosen of God as a nation. But yet God passed by them. Passed by them. And took a woman of Canaan and gave her faith. You see, she's a Gentile. She's a godless pagan. She's a godless pagan. She's a Canaanite. She was a child of a cursed race. You know that? You know, when God... Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Canaan was the son of Ham. And Noah said, "Cursed be Canaan."
Amen.
And let me show you in Genesis 24 just a minute. Now, God, you know this is the story of Abraham sending his servant after a bride for his son Isaac. And Isaac, when he went, or his servant went to go get a bride for Isaac, his son, he was not supposed to go to Gentiles, not supposed to go to Canaan. She is a Gentile. And if you ever really truly understand what it's like to be a Gentile in light of Jewish thinking, in light of the Scriptures, you'd understand just what a mercy it is that God set them aside. Just set them aside. And because of that being set aside, that when our Master came, He came to save Jew and Gentile.
Yes.
And here we sit, people who did not have a Bible, descendants of pagans, idol worshipers, descendants of men and women who God passed by for generations and generations till the Lord Jesus came into this world, destroyed seven nations just to give them to the Jews. And He left us to ourselves, didn't save any Gentiles, only brought Israel out of Egypt, left us in our pagan idolatry. And if you understood just what it means to be a Gentile, a dog, you'd understand and appreciate what it meant for our Lord Jesus Christ to make some... Well, that's what it means for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Jew says it's only for us. God said it's for every man. No matter what his character, no matter what his class, no matter what his status, no matter what nation he's from, no matter whether he's a slave or a free man, no matter whether he's a male or a female, no matter whether he's a Jew or a Gentile, it don't make any difference. God so loved the world that He gave His Son for the world, people out of all classes.
Amen.
Not for everybody in the world. And here, when Abraham's going to send his servant out to get a bride for his son Isaac, he says, "You go to my people." Look what he told him to do here in Genesis 24 and verse 3. Made him swear now. Made his servant swear, "And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell." Oh, you see what a mercy it is? That the Canaanite, God's going to give her faith, that God's going to show her mercy. Don't you dare go to the Canaanites. Don't want no Canaanites. But here's a woman of Canaan. Here's a woman of a cursed race. Here's a woman, and oh my, let me show you this over in 1 Corinthians 1. I'll take my time a little this morning, and I want you to see some things if I can, about this thing called faith. This glorious, precious faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This blessed, blessed thing called faith. If you're sitting here and think you got it, and it hasn't caused you to look outside yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, you think you possess it, and you think it's natural to you, all you've got to do is exercise it, you're sadly mistaken. That's why I want you to see. Here in 1 Corinthians 1:26, it says this. He said, "For you see your calling, brethren." See, faith is given to the most unlikely people. "You see your calling, brethren. How that not many wise men after the flesh." How many people do you know out here in the world that's PhDs and doctors of literature and scientists and physicists and chemists, people who are really educated in the academic community. How many do you know of the wise men and the politicians with all their attention? How many do you know that's been called? I don't even know anybody that amounts to anything that's been called. Everybody I know, the reason I love them and appreciate them so much is because they've already been called. Not many mighty, not many powerful people in this world, not many noble. How many sirs? You know that the queen knights men, they, from then on they're called sir. How many sirs do you know that they've called? How many noble? How many kings? How many? Oh no. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world, like preaching. Like preaching. God hath chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Chosen clay pots, vessels of clay, to hold the treasure and preach the gospel. And he done that to confound the wise. And God chosen the weak things, the weak to preach, the weak to believe, the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the very base things, the lowest things of the world, the things like a woman of Canaan that are despised, hath God chosen. Chosen faith, not works. Chosen Christ's blood that cleanses from our sins, not us. Not our obedience, called Christ's righteousness to cause us to have acceptance before God. Not anything we do. And those things are despised, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Just bring everything that man thinks something, bring it down to nothing. And all that men say ain't nothing, God elevates it. And that's what he says, that no flesh going to glory in his presence. None. But here's this Canaanite woman. Here's this woman of Canaan. She came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gave her faith. What a most unlikely person. But she is an object of God's eternal electing love given to sinners in Christ. And the people who value faith the most is the people who possess it. How many who's ever possessed faith would part with it? How many worlds would they have to give you to get you to part with your faith? How much money would they have to give you to get you to part with your faith? What would they have to do to get you to part with your faith? Oh, mine, it becomes so precious when you're being tried the greatest. When you're in the crucible of the fire. When you're in the darkest, deepest valley. When your body is weak and worn and it being destroyed by some disease, how does faith become precious to you then? Oh, it's precious. To those who possess it, it has great, great value. They're not going to swap it with anybody. They're not going to exchange it with anybody. And I don't even want anybody else's. You know, people see streets and say, I sure love to have faith like him. No, I just want what God give me.
Amen.
I know it's not counterfeit. The one who seems like he's got the most of it, it may not be real. It may not be real. I know what God gave me. I know who it looks to. I know it looks outside of myself. I quit looking to myself years ago. No, it looks outside itself. And oh, I tell you what, not only is it given to the most unlikely, but faith is born in the heart by hearing the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, over in Mark chapter 7, we won't look at that. But you know, faith is born in the heart by hearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 7, it says, and she heard of him. Now, how she heard of him or when she heard of him, I don't know, but she heard. She heard. How shall you call on him? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall you call on him in whom you have not believed? How shall you believe in him of whom you have not heard? And how shall you hear without a preacher? Now, beloved, you got to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to hear of his person. You got to hear of his power. You got to hear of his ability. You got to hear of his grace. You got to hear of his blood. You got to hear of his righteousness. You got to hear of his mirth and his word. That's what you got to hear of. You got to hear of Christ, the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And on when she heard of him, look what she says now, here in verse 22. She came out of the coast of out of the Canaan and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." She called him Lord. You know what that word means? Jehovah. Jehovah. The Lord Jesus Christ of the New Testament is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. You know who it was that spoke out of that burning bush to Moses on the mountain? That bush it was that consumed and said, "Moses, take your shoes off. The ground you standeth on holy." You know who that was talking to him out of that bush? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God has always and always spoke to men through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has only and always revealed Himself to men in the Lord Jesus Christ. God made the worlds by the Lord Jesus Christ. God upholds the worlds by the word of His power. The everything that exists and consists right now is because of Him. And God said, "This, you want to approach me, you want to come to me, you want to get near to me." You know what He said? "No man can come unto me, come unto the Father, but by me." And if God's going to speak to me or speak to you or do anything for your soul or my soul, anything we have, God's going to give it. We sung that song, "There is a fountain of Christ." And that fountain starts in glory. And it came through time, and it run through time, and it's a bloody stream. And it's a precious stream. And it's a fountain that a soul that's plunged into it will come to it and look to it. And that's what you got to do. You got to hear of Him. And that's why she called Him Lord. And no man, now let me understand this. You know, you go place these billboards, "Jesus is Lord," over Podunk, Kentucky. You'll see them signs. He's Lord over the universe. He is Lord before the world existed.
Yes, sir.
He's the one who called the world into existence. And us calling Him Lord don't make Him Lord. It's only when the Holy Ghost calls Him Lord, she's really acknowledging in her heart that He is God. That's what she's saying. That He's God. Huh? Jehovah. And oh, not only that, but look what she said. "Thou son of David." Oh, she knew enough about Him that God was going to raise up David's seed to sit on His throne. Not only did she say "son of David," that He's going to come in the flesh, but that He's a king with a throne. He's a king with a throne. Oh, she had some blessed, blessed truth revealed to her, and that's why she came. "Oh, thou son of David," made. He was the Son of God, but He was made. He was always God. But He became something He was not before. He became the seed of David. He had never been that before.
That's right.
He had never been in the flesh before. He had never come with human nature before. And she said, "Oh, thou son of David, you're the king, you're the Messiah, you're the one that's promised." And she knew that. People think, you know, that you don't have to know it. All you got to do is walk an aisle and say, "Jesus is Savior. I want to be saved." And that's all it is to it. That's why, and I've said it so many times, why we don't have altar calls and invitations. That's why we don't have a place up here for you to come. Because like I told you the other day, there's this man called me and he says, "You know, I've been thinking about coming up to your church, but..." I said, "Well, yeah, I'll come and sit and hear the gospel." He said, "What if I wanted to come up front and pray?" I said, "Why would you want to do that?" He says, "Well, that's what you got to do to be saved." I said, "No, that's not what you got to do to be saved. No. No, you got to learn the gospel. You got to hear of Christ. You got to know Christ. And Christ is not up here. Christ is in glory." And she acknowledged Him as one with all power and all of... "You're the Lord. You're Jehovah. You're God. You're the Son of David. You is the promised Messiah." You see, people want to do something. I've got to get on my knees. I've got to come to the front. I've got to say so many prayers. I've got to shed so many tears. I've got to suffer so much in my heart. You've got to know who Christ is, what you've got to know.
And when you know who He is and understand who He is and the Holy Spirit reveals Him to you, you won't help. You can't help yourself believing on Him. Now, ain't that right? And oh, look, and I tell you, faith is born in the heart by hearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, most given to the most unlikely people. And I tell you, faith, listen to faith, third thing, faith always seeks what only God can give. And you know what faith seeks? Look what she said down in verse 22. She cried unto Him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." Now, faith always seeks what only God can give. Mercy. Now, I want you to notice something. She never attempted to tell the Lord what to do. She never come up there talking about herself at all. First thing out of her mouth, "Have mercy on me." Mercy. By Bartimaeus, "Oh, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy." Oh, she never attempted to tell the Lord what to do. "Now, Lord, it's what I want You to do. My faith is strong, and this is what I want You to do." There's lots of people that do that. I mentioned last night up in Danville, you know, that there was a woman, her preacher told her, said, "Next time you look in the mirror, when you look at yourself, look at your Savior and tell her what you want. Like you're looking at yourself and you're your own Savior." Ah. She didn't make any demands. She didn't make any demands. She didn't make any bargains. "Lord, if You'll do this for me, if You'll hear me this one time, if You'll save me from this situation, if You'll get me out of this mess I'm in, I'll start serving You. I'll start looking to You." She didn't come talking about, "Oh, I've been a good woman. I've been a good mother." She didn't talk about that. She didn't say, "I've been a good neighbor. I've been a good churchgoer. I've prayed for years and years." No, she never come. You know what she said? "Have mercy on me." How many words is that? 1, 2, 3, 4. You know how many words Elijah prayed before fire fell from heaven? People think, you know, you got to just pray through. She just said, "Have mercy on me." 4 words. Elijah, those fellas prayed all day long, cut themselves and everything else, trying to get fire to fall, trying to get Baal to come down. Elijah said 67 words. 67 words. Fire fell. Those fellas prayed all day. You know how long it takes to say 67 words? Don't take long, does it? You see, sinners need mercy. I want you to, you keep that and look over in Psalm 51. Sinners need mercy. Sinners need mercy. That's what sinners need. That's what I come here this morning. I come, you know, our Lord Jesus said, "Wherever two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst." Well, I've gathered in His name this morning in need of mercy. In need of mercy. His mercies are new every morning and His compassions fail not. Sinners need mercy. I need mercy. Oh, God, be merciful to me. Don't give me what I deserve. That's what mercy means. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. You have no merit, no worth. And He in grace gives you favor. Gives you favor. Gives you approval in His sight. Grace comes and does something for you. Mercy is what He's withholding what you do deserve. That's why I come. What do I deserve? I don't deserve His blessings. I don't deserve. What I do deserve is to be left to myself. What I do deserve is for Him to leave me in the darkness for a while. What I do deserve is to be set down and shut up for a while. I deserve from Him, because the way I am, I couldn't tell you what all I deserve. But does He give it to me? No. I say, oh God, I need mercy. Don't give me what I deserve. Give me mercy. And that's what David said. Here's the King. Here's the one that our Lord Jesus was the Son of. He said in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God. Now watch this. He could have said, because I'm the King, I'm your chosen, I'm a man after your own heart. No. He said, according to thy loving kindness. Oh, how much is your loving kindness? How much loving kindness do you have in your heart? How much loving kindness do you have in your person? Now watch this. I love this. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. How many tender mercies does God have? Tender mercies. Tender mercies. Multitude of tender mercies. Mercies that come with quietness and stillness and softness and comes and meets your needs right where you are. And He's got a multitude of them. And according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out, blot out, blot out.
Yeah.
My transgressions. It takes a multitude of tender mercies to blot out a multitude of transgressions. And He said, wash me thoroughly. A lot of people say thoroughly. Thoroughly means, I think, through and through and through and through and through. Wash me thoroughly. Start right top of my head and go all the way through my body. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Oh, my sinners need mercy. And what she's saying here when she comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, while we go back to Matthew 15, she's saying, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. My hope for pardon, my hope for anything from you is mercy. Mercy. She submitted to the will and power of the Lord Jesus Christ, confident in His ability to show mercy. I'll tell you something else about faith. Not only does it only always seek what only God can give, mercy. But faith can't be silenced. Once it starts crying, it never stops. It can't be silenced. Look what happens now. But He answered her not a word. Verse 23. He answered her not a word. Our Lord ignored her cry. Now, absolutely aggravates you to death when somebody ignores you. Our wives say to us men all the time, and I'm not trying to be funny here, said, you never hear a word I say. Woman talking yesterday, sitting there with her husband, said, I have to tell him everything twice. Because I know he don't hear me the first time. And it's frustrating. You're talking to somebody and they ignore you. We tell our children, are you listening to me? We hate to be ignored. I hate the folks just act like we're not there, don't hear our voice. Well, that's what our Lord did here. He answered her not a word. Just act like she wasn't there. Just went all about His business. There she is. Father, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. The Lord seemed to ignore her cry. And look what the disciples did. His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away. See, remember, she's a Gentile. She's a Canaanite. She's a pagan. She's from a cursed race. Huh? And oh my, the devil, the disciples treat her with contempt and arrogance even. Send her away. She cries after us. She's bothering us. What arrogance for these men. Send her away. She's nobody. She don't amount to nothing. She's a Gentile. She's a pagan. She's a Canaanite. She cries after us. All we hear is crying, is crying, is crying. Oh my. Not only that, but then she was confronted with sovereign election. Look what He says in verse 24. Not only did He ignore her, but when He did say something, he confronted her with the sovereign electing grace of God Almighty, with sovereign election. Instead of telling her, oh, honey, I tell you, if you'll just open your heart, I'll come in. If you'll let me, I'll accept you. You go over to the church and pray through. No, no. No, you know what he said? I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Not to everybody in Israel. The lost sheep.
Amen.
Other sheep. He said, my sheep, which are, you know, he said, I have sheep which are this fold. Other sheep I must. There were sheep in Israel. And he said, I've got to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not sent to you. I've got to go to them. They're lost sheep, and I've got to go find them. And I'm going to find them. I'm going to get every single one of them. Why you cry? That's what he's telling her. He said, I'm going after my elect. I'm going after the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.
Yeah.
I'm going after my people. I'm going after my elect. Oh, my. That's the first thing he confronted her with. People say, oh my, why would he do that? Why wouldn't he do it? She's going to find out the salvation's of the Lord. We all going to learn that. Salvation's of the Lord. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. But it's of God that showeth mercy. Huh? And then what happened? Not only that. But look right here in verse 25. She knew and owned her unworthiness. And then she came instead of shutting up. Instead of shutting up. Instead of just saying, well, he's not paying any attention to me. He's not hearing my cries. His disciples want me to leave, want me to shut up, want me to leave, want him to send me away. She's hearing all this. I'm going to go after my elect. I'm going to go after my lost sheep. You reckon that'd stop anybody? Sovereign election stopped many a person when they've heard it. They've walked away and said, that's too hard for me. I can't believe that. That's unfair. God could not be God and just chose who He wants to save. He's got to give everybody a chance, you know. Oh, I tell you, election is absolutely unconditional.
Amen.
If it was based on any condition, that would have left me out for sure. Well, I couldn't have met the condition. If God gave me a condition to meet to become one of His elect, I wouldn't have been one of His elect. I couldn't have met the condition. Huh? Could you? If He gave us a condition, what would we have? The Jews said, we're what we're supposed to be. We have Moses and the law and the prophets. Our Lord said, I'm going after the lost sheep. To leave you fellas alone. Rebecca had two children in her womb. God said the last should be first and the first should be last. And here's a perfect illustration of it. Esau was the first one born. By the first birth, born, he has the entitlement to all the inheritance, to be the head over the family, all the spiritual blessings. So what happens? Jacob got a hold of his heel. And he come out before they was ever born. Before they was ever born. Before they was in that womb. You know what God said about those two men? He said the elder, Esau, the elder, the first, is going to serve the younger. That younger is going to be first. And the one that was last out, Jacob, he's going to be first. The first one out is going to be last. And you know what else he said? Neither one of them hadn't been born yet. They hadn't done any good or evil. And this was done that the purpose of God according to election might stand. God said, Jacob have a love, Esau have a hate.
That's right.
Now folks say this. They say, I don't see how in the world God could hate Esau. What astounds me, how could God love Jacob? How God loved Jacob. How can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? To me, who him to death pursued? Oh. But you know what? Instead of quitting, instead of shutting up, instead of election making her turn around, well, I don't know if I'm one of them or not, so I'll just have to wait and see. No, not what she said. What did she say? Then came she and worshipped him. worship Him. And what did she say? In spite of your disciples, I believe in your elected. I believe you elect and choose whom you will. I believe you got lost sheep and the only way to get it. But she came and worshiped Him and said, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. Oh, my. See how simple it is. How plain. Now watch what else happens here. Faith takes its proper place before God. Faith will not be denied. There's an old song we used to sing, I will not be denied. I don't know how scriptural it is. That's been so long since I heard, but I will not be denied. Remember that old hymn we used to sing? Would not be denied. But look here what else happens. But he answered and said, it's not meet. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. But she acknowledged that she faith takes its proper place. She came and she fell down and worshiped the Lord and said, Lord, help me. She acknowledged the truth of our Lord set before her, of herself. She said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Cast it to dogs. And that's what he's telling her. He said, you're a Gentile dog. You know, when Mephibosheth was brought, he couldn't get there himself. When Mephibosheth was brought to David, typical of our Lord Jesus Christ, when Mephibosheth was brought, you know what Mephibosheth said before David? He said, why would thou, my master, my Lord, look upon not just a dog, a dead dog, dead in sin, dead in my heart, dead in my mind. And you know when something's dead, it's corrupt, it stinks, it's rotten, and there's a whole dead dog down on the side of the road all swelled up. No, here's what he said. He said, why would you even look, much less do something for it, look on a dead dog. And that's what she said. Truth, Lord. You know, you just don't. And that's everything. He is the truth.
Yeah.
He is the truth. She acknowledged the truth the Lord said before her. She acknowledged the truth of herself. She acknowledged the truth of the justice of His sovereignty when He says, I'm not sent to the lost sheep but the house of Israel. She said, truth, Lord. I'll tell you, faith doesn't argue with God. Doesn't argue with God. Doesn't debate with God. No, 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 no. Faith is, it says, Lord, You're the Lord. You can do as it seems good in Your sight. You can do what You want. And it doesn't bargain with God. Faith submits to the Lord. She said, Lord, help me. Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. You know what? I remember when we was down at the other place of a woman, and I was fed her and her husband had attended for quite a while. And I brought a message from this, and I don't know what I brought it from this, but I used this as an illustration of this woman, our Lord calling her a dog. And she said, truth, Lord. And talked about us being dogs. She never came back again. Been heard her husband came a long time. And when she left, she said, I may be a lot of things, but one thing I ain't is a dog. Well, it's obvious she wasn't the Lord's dog, that's for sure. Huh? She ain't been back since. Ain't all these years ain't been back. And that's all right with me. She's the loser. She's the loser. Huh? But look what happens now. Oh, faith takes its proper place before God. Faith can't be silenced. Oh, shut up, send her away. Oh, she worshipped Him and said, Lord. Pre-sovereign election, she said, oh, Lord, worshipped Him and helped Him. And oh, my. She had heard, hears of the Lord Jesus Christ. Takes its proper place. And faith makes need. Now listen to what I'm telling you. Faith makes need an argument for mercy. What's your argument for God to give you mercy? Do you have a need? It's the need that makes you cry for mercy. It's the need that you have. And look what she said. But he answered her in verse 26 and said, "It's not meet." And that word meet means fit. It's not worthy. It's not right that I should take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, "Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord." Yeah. See, she took the ground the Lord placed her on. He called her a dog. She said, "That's the truth. I am. That's what I am. I'm a dog. I don't mind. I don't mind. I don't mind what you call me. Everything you said about me is true." You know what the scriptures I call people? Calls us worms, grasshoppers, sinners, unrighteous, ungodly, God haters, unbelievers, wicked, wretched. Tells us that we drink iniquity like water, and as soon as we be born, the sparks start flying upward. Tells us that we is born from our mother's womb, shapen in iniquity and conceived in sin, and we come forth from the womb speaking lies. And that's just a few of the things it says about us. It says we're grass. It says an awful lot of things. And everyone whom God gives faith to said, "Yay, Lord." That's the truth. Yeah. Whatever you say, that's what he says. He called Jacob a worm. That one that he loved, before he was born, you know, he said, "Oh, thou worm, Jacob." And then the Lord said the next line, "Fear not."
Amen.
Why not? "I've redeemed you. Called you by thy name." Oh, I don't mean by being a worm. You, Brother Pam? No. If I'm the Lord's worm, that's okay. That's all right. Oh my, she took the ground the Lord placed. He called her a dog. She owned the name dog. Yes, truth, Lord. Dog. And she made her low character, an argument for mercy. Now look what she says now. She said in verse 27, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs." She uses the ground the Lord placed her on as an argument for His mercy. "Yes, Lord, yes, the truth. I'm a dog. But the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She turned around and said, "Lord, I'm a dog. And it's your table. And it's your food. And it's your providing. But even dogs, the little dogs around there, when the crumb falls off that table, you don't get angry at them particularly, do you? You don't resist them." And she took that place where she was at, took that position, and used that as an argument for mercy. Where's the Lord placed you? Stay right there. Say, "Lord, have mercy." Huh? Oh, dogs will settle for any mercy, any morsel. My poor old dog, you know, I go out and he's deaf, and I got to get his attention before he knows I'm around. But whenever he looks like I've got a plate in my hand and fixing to go somewhere, he's old, barely can't get around. But when he thinks he's going to get something, again, he runs out there and goes, that's the way she was. The dogs. And oh, they'll be grateful. And not only will they be grateful for what falls from the master's table, but they'll come back for more. They'll come back for more. And not only did she own being a dog and used her need as an argument for mercy, but she said that she was his dog. She said, "You're the master. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their masters." You're the master. You're the master. She is altogether dependent upon His care. "I'll take whatever you give me. If it's a crumb," that's why He called them tender mercies. "If it's a crumb, I'll take it." And I'll tell you what happens to faith when it comes. Tell you what happens. Faith that's given to the most unlikely. Faith that's born in the heart by hearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith always that only seeks what God can give. Mercy, faith that can't be silent. Faith that takes its proper place before God. Faith that makes itself its need an argument for mercy. And when faith like that, that faith that God gives, that precious, precious faith that the Lord gives, faith always obtains what it seeks. Look in verse 28. Then Jesus answered. He didn't tell one of his disciples to go to tell him. You know, he ain't going to tell me to tell you you got faith. No, if you got faith, he's going to tell you. He's going to be the one to make you know it. If he's going to reward you, if he's going to bless you, he's going to be the one to tell you. He ain't going to, you know, don't come and ask me if you got faith or not. You done asked the wrong person. He didn't say, now Peter, go over and tell that woman that she's got faith now. And I'm going to bless her. Go over and tell her that I'm going to meet her needs because of what she done. No. He turned to herself and said, oh, woman. Great is thy faith. Oh, faith seeks mercy, always gets it. Faith deals with and seeks the necessities, just what it needs. And it always gets what it needs. And oh, he says, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. You ask for mercy? I'm going to give you mercy. You had a great need? I'm going to meet your need. You need healing for your daughter? That's what you're going to get. You need freedom from bondage? That's what I'll give you. You need life? That's what I'll give you. You need mercy? That's what I'll give you. You say you want the will of the Lord to be done? That's what I'll give you. Oh, my faith seeks mercy. And faith deals with necessities. What we need is what we cry out for. What we need is what we ask for. What we need, not what we want, what we need. Faith and mercy is born of need. Need, I need you, Master. I need your strength. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need faith. I need your presence. I need you, Lord. I need you. And oh, the Lord always says, Jesus, our Master does, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Huh? Faith. Faith. Abraham believed God. Oh, against all hope, he believed God. He believed God. And faith honors the Lord Jesus by believing. Two things he marveled at, faith and unbelief. And he was angry with them in one place for their hardness of heart. And oh, how he honors faith. Faith honors the Lord Jesus Christ by believing. I believe you, Master. I believe you're the Lord. I believe you're the Son of David, manifest in the flesh. And I've got a great need. Yeah, oh, I'm a dog. Yeah, I'm a dog. I'm a dog. Oh, I'm a dog. You're the Master. And I know you're going to save your elect. I know you're going to go get your people. But that's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in mercy from you to me. That's what I want. You go and do what you want. Just please stop and have mercy on me. Stop here. Huh? Reach out. Reach out and touch the Lord. Huh? And I'll tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ does. He honors faith by giving what mercy asks for. Don't it? Our blessed, blessed Savior, gracious Father in heaven, thank you for meeting with us, being here with us, letting us have of your presence and your power. Please meet our needs. And do have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon those, dear Lord Jesus, who aren't even conscious of a need of mercy. Create a need in them of mercy. And Father, bless this congregation of believers to your glory and our good. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Reach out and touch the Lord and He is by your find. He's not too busy to
needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He.
One more time.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You'll find.